This is the Seikei to Zed News Update. The Buzz of the Museum. At the Cortez Island Museum and Archives Society, a current exhibit celebrates bees, while the online archives take off in popularity. Seikei to Zed News sat down with Managing Director Jay Newman for an interview.
I'd love to hear about your current exhibits, especially listening to bees. I saw that on opening day you had a demonstration of a live beehive.
Sure. So about 2 years ago, Nancy Kendall, who's the vice president here, she came to me and she said, how about we do an exhibit on bees? And that was just the genesis of the idea. And then we sat with it for a little while and ideas percolated. And then in early 2021, we really said, okay, we're doing an exhibit on bees and it's opening on World Bee Day. And so we have an exhibit to both research, design, and install, and then open in the next number of months. And there's many other volunteers and various people that we called upon in the community as well to help us put everything together, including a lot of the beekeepers locally. There are quite a few beekeepers, and are they ever passionate? I think there was about seven people that we worked quite directly with, and we did have visits to an apiary. Jack and Erica Wills, Jenny Hartwick, and Bert Summers works with Tony Clark. Seven people, and all of them varying stages of beekeeping on the island.
The observation hive will be back at the museum on Thursday, August 19th from 10 to 12 noon.
It really augments the bee exhibit, which is, by the way, not only honeybees, it's all about the native bees and also about what you can do. Why are bees dying? There's a lot of mythology and lore around bees, and we've captured some of that, a sort of a mystery and magic about bees that has been with us for ages. And the other thing is that it includes this really interesting research that Paul Stamets has been doing on the benefits of mycelium mushrooms for bee health, his bee feeding stations that he's designed and is having manufactured, and the mycelium extract samples. So not only would you see the observation hive, but you'd learn all these other things and be able to interact with the exhibit in that way.
And then what about That Was Then, This Is Now? I didn't realize that what Cortez Island Museum and Archives has been open to the public since 1998. Was that the inception of it, or was it happening earlier but not public?
Yeah, it was happening earlier. I think there was the idea of that there was various people, Mae Ellingson, Doreen Thompson, and others that are probably still currently on the board, that really were realizing that some people had quite large collections and went out of their way to collect and or store various photographs and all sorts of ephemera. Some of the publications like the Whaletown Inquirer and various things like this, people had kept, and it became apparent that there needed to be a repository. So in 98, or prior to that, they were able to purchase this building that the museum is currently housed in from BC Parks for $1, because it was the store down at Manson's Landing. And then they put the store on wheels, moved it up the hill to where it sits now, and various iterations later, it is what we house all the exhibits here in. And also there's Wild Cortez. You know, we do have Wild Cortez over at the Linnaean Education Center.
And so you said it's been busy. Is that because there's a lot of people coming through?
You know, it was interesting. We're open all winter, but we're only open on Fridays and Saturdays. And it was definitely a quiet winter because of COVID still and whatever, but we managed to be able to still have some online events and have people coming to the exhibits, etc. But starting, I would say, June 15th, when we opened in our full-time capacity again for the summer, it really has picked up. And almost all of our visitors really at this point are from British Columbia, Vancouver, for sure, Victoria. Still a lot of people from Vancouver Island. There's certainly more visitors. And we also operate as the Tourist Visitor Information Booth, the official destination BC. So a lot of people do come to us for visitor information. And then, of course, we try to lure them into the exhibits and say, we're so much more.
So you had this amazing gumboot walk with Deb Cowper. It was really super interesting to talk to her. I saw you have one scheduled for September 4th as well.
That's correct. Yes. You need to have a low tide to do the gumbooting so that you can actually see more and more of the spit and the sandbar as it gets revealed, and find all sorts like the moon snails and various other things. There's so much intertidal life. And I think there'll be another gumbooting one in August as well, but I don't have a confirmed date. So makes for very interesting, you know, social and natural history tour.
And besides those events this summer, I didn't see anything else on the calendar.
We didn't really know until the beginning of July what July and August were truly going to look like as far as being able to host visitors. And last year we had a really full Art in the Garden series that we ended up canceling the entire thing. This year we just decided there's just so much uncertainty still. Let's not really build a really good summer program. And in some ways, we're sorry for that. We'd love to be able to have more events that are happening, but things may crop up that are more spontaneous.
Is there anything else that you're really excited about?
I think what's really exciting right now is that we, it's not new news maybe, but that our archives have gone online. So now our archives are accessible worldwide. And what that's translating to on the ground at the museum is this summer, in the last month, because we've been open summer hours for a month, we have been seeing so much more activity from people coming into the museum or directly contacting us through email regarding stuff they're seeing in the online archives. The archive room has been more active, and research requests have been more active. And of course, now the archives committee is doing this great campaign on Facebook and Instagram with the 10 selected photographs in our archives under specific themes week by week. And that's generated a whole bunch of interest. And really, since I've started here, I would say that that has just blossomed into something really exciting and way more potential down the road for how we'll use that and how people will interact with that. One thing that's also very exciting is that we get to now start creating in-person programming. You know, we've had more than a hiccup on not being able to do that. And we're really, really pretty excited to see what takes shape for the fall, the winter, next spring, next summer, as far as actual on the ground, in-person connected programming to be able to share and learn and experience what other islanders and other visitors and things like that connect with through the museum and archives.
You've been listening to an interview with Jane Newman, Managing Director of the Cortez Island Museum and Archives Society.